Another version, the Prophet said, was uhadithukum an dhalik. And I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't use those ones. So we learn from the first part of the hadith that a Muslim can use any means to slaughter an animal. Because the first part is general. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the second part of the hadith, he exempted two things actually, to be more precise. He says, laysa sinna wa dhufra, except the tooth. And which tooth here are we talking about? This one also is general. He said, as sin, the tooth of human being. That's the first thing that actually comes to the mind. When he says, laysa sinna, it refers to the sin of the human being, the one who is slaughtering. Accepted the sin. وَالظُّفْرَ. And which ظُفْر? So we said this tooth is general. It includes any tooth from animals, from human beings, from whatever. وَالظُّفْر. الظُّفْر also is general. The cloth. Yeah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we shouldn't slaughter with these two things. So that means I'm allowed as a Muslim to use anything to slaughter the animal except these two things. قَالَ وَسَوْحَدِّثُكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. And I'm going to tell you the reason why you shouldn't do the slaughtering using those two things. قَالَ أَمَّا السِّنَّ I'm sorry, أَمَّا السِّنُّ فَعَظْمٌ. He said, as for the sin is a tooth. فَعَظْمٌ. He says this is because it is a bone. So that's the illah that we cannot use it. What exactly is the reason why the Prophet said we cannot use it? I can't recall a single hadith, but the scholars mention that the tooth, either it is najis or it is clean. If it is clean, when you put blood on it, you're going to mess it up. Somebody might say, so what? This is just a bone, you know. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you remember in the Kitab al-Tahara, for those of you who are with us, either in this book or another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the sin, he said we shouldn't use it when we are, you know, cleaning ourselves after using the bathroom. We shouldn't use the bone. And he says, فَإِنَّهُ طَعَامُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِ, because it is the food of your brothers from the jinns. It is the food of your brothers from the jinns. He says, فَإِنَّهُ طَعَامُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِ. They say, because it is the food of your brothers from amongst the jinns. So if you take the bone and you use it, you're going to mess up the food of somebody who is your brother from among the jinn, because they also have Muslims. Yeah? Not all the jinns are kuffar, they have Muslims. They are very good Muslims. وَأَنَّا مِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. They said, among us you have righteous people and you have those people who are not righteous. SubhanAllah. So they have righteous people, very dedicated people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very good ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like us. That's why they said, كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدَا. We are also different types of paths and ways, you know. They have madhahib, they have aqa'id, you know. They have so many approaches, you know, Christian, Muslims, and yeah, because it's a tara'iq al-qidana. And amongst the Muslims also, you have good and bad. You have the wrongdoers, you have the good and excellent ones. So they're just like us. That's why they go to Jannah, they go to hell, just like the way human beings also go to Jannah and hell. So we should respect those who are Muslims amongst them. But how do we see them? The system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided in this dunya is that we don't see the jinn. And that's good for us and good for them. Yeah? Good for them and good for us. They live in their own dimension, we're in our own dimension. Yeah, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala atla'ahu ala ba'adhi al-umur allati nahnu la na'lamuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about things which we don't know. Yeah, we don't know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the jinn in their own place and gave them and taught them their religion. You know, so he said, when they ask him, you know, how about their food, the Prophet ﷺ told them to eat those bones. When they take it and they mention Bismillah, the meat will come back again. The meat will come back again. They just eat it. So we are not supposed to make it up, to mess it up. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said we shouldn't use it to clean ourselves after using the bathroom. Why? Because it is the food of our brothers from the jinn. If we are going to mess it up, we will destroy it. You know, and if it is najasa, then a person is just using najasa. Why do you use najasa to clean najasa? You know, okay, just going to mess it up. And also, why do you use najasa, something that is najis, to slaughter the animal, putting najasa in those places? So whether this is the wisdom, this is the illah, or this is not the illah, but we know that you cannot use the tooth to cut the throat of an animal, to slaughter an animal. You get it? You cannot use it. Yeah. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it is azm. And from this we learn that you cannot use anything, any bone from any animal. You cannot use any bone from any animal. قَالَ أَمَّا السِّنُّ فَعَظْمٌ وَأَمَّا الظُّفُّ فَمُدَى الْحَبَشَ. He says, as for the sin, he says, فَعَظْمٌ وَأَمَّا الظُّفُّ, as the cloth, okay, the nails. Allah said, فَمُدَى الْحَبَشَ. مُدَى جَمْعُ مُدْيَة. He says, فَمُدَى الْحَبَشَ. It is the muda of the Habasha, the knife used by the Abyssinians. So we learn from this that the knife used by the Abyssinians is wrong for us to use it. But can we go with this generality to say that, yeah, any knife used by the Abyssinians, the people from Habasha, we are not supposed to use it? No. If you look at the nature of the hadith, the text, it shows that, no, that is restricted to the cloth. When they have a knife, they make a knife from, you know, hadith, the way we do, so you use that one. He's referring to the hukum of using the nails to cut the throat of an animal. Sometimes you don't have the knife, you're in the forest, you don't have anything to do it. What must you do? Look for anything else except the teeth and the claws. This one you cannot use them. This one cannot be used to cut the animal, otherwise that animal cannot be allowed to be eaten. Why is that? Because Habasha, the people in Habasha, they are using the nails. So why can't we imitate them? Because at that time they were not Muslims. And you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make it prohibited upon us to imitate the Muslims. I'm sorry, the non-Muslims. And subhanAllah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا السُّنَنُ لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ السَّنَنَ أَوْ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذِرَعًا بِذِرَعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍ لَتَبِعْتُمُهُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked him to make that anwat for them, just like the way those guys are worshipping that anwat, looking for barakah from it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar. He says, Wallahi, you have told me just like what Musa received from his people after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from Fir'aun. Just after saving them from Fir'aun, they told Musa alayhi salam, he says, Ija'al lana ilahan kama lahu alihah. They passed a group of people worshipping, you know, their own idol. So the Jew told Musa, we also want something like this. Subhanallah. Just now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from Fir'aun. And those new Muslims also, just now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the victory after the battle of Hunayn. You see the similarity, right? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا السُّنَنْ. He said, these are sunnah of the Hayah. He says, you're going to be following those people who came before you step by step. Step by step. He says, even if you have somebody who is going into the hole of a lizard, you have also amongst the Muslims who will do that. SubhanAllah. So that's what we see nowadays. That's where Muslims should be very careful. It's not haram for us to imitate them if they have something good. Technology which is stolen from us, actually, in the first place. We have the root, but they're not doing the right thing. It has been taken from us. And Other than that, no, you don't take from the manners. Unfortunately, even the manners also we are taking. Look at our children, the way they act, the way they think, the way they talk, you know. SubhanAllah, you can see imitation and being proud of attaching themselves to those ones. So we imitate them in things which are bad and good sometimes. We don't need them at all. Uqsimu billah, we don't need them at all. That which is good, which they're doing, we can also participate and contribute to that. We can suffice ourselves, but unfortunately, we don't do that. Because of our behavior and attitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let our basira to think in this way. So we are still the tail of those ones. So imitating them is wrong. In anything which they are recognized by it, we cannot imitate them. Whatever they are recognized by it. I mean, if you see somebody doing it, you will say that this person is one of them. A Muslim is not supposed to be. So this hadith is very important, very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْفَ ضَبٍ لَتَبِعْتُمْ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, مَنْ تَعْنِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who are you speaking about? Are you talking about the Jews and the Christians? He says, فَمَنْ. It means, who else? In some narration, he said, فَمَنْ النَّاسُ إِذَنْ. Who are the people, you know, that I'm referring to, if not these ones? So, please, let's be very careful. And remind our brothers and sisters also, wherever they are, to be proud of being Muslims and to be proud of what we have, to promote our heritage, manners and virtues, grow up our children upon these good manners and attitude and behaviors, and attach them, you know, teach them al-wala wal-bara'. This is really necessary. Wala lil-mu'mineen, al-bara' lil-kuffar, wa man sha'ahu. And we don't say to harm anyone. No, this is wrong, to harm anyone. Whether he's Muslim or Kafir, you don't know how. But you know that you're Muslim. That identity has to be preserved. You cannot merge with others and lose your identity. And this is what we're talking about. You show kindness. Yes, this is Islam. To non-Muslims, you show kindness to them. You show them all types of good manners. Invite them to Islam. Make sure that they see the beauty of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, you cannot put them as a role model. Yeah, as a role model, you can't. You know. That's why in every place we have to put the Muslims wherever leadership is concerned. Even in the classrooms, yeah, you must make sure that, yes, the one who's leading your kids is a Muslim, somebody who has manners. Not just a Muslim, no, somebody who has manners and good behaviors. As I said, you know, between us and the non-Muslims is good relationship and good manners. The Prophet ﷺ visited his neighbors, they are Jew, yeah, but he doesn't imitate them. He preserved that identity. Whatever they are recognized by the Prophet ﷺ doesn't go with that. Until the time they told him, it looks like this man is not going to imitate us in anything. He will never know anything that we do except he goes against it. But in terms of manners, he was the best in terms of behaviors to them. Much more better than their parents and their children and their wives and their husbands and their friends and anyone. That was Rasulullah ﷺ. That's why nobody has any concern when it comes to the attitude of Rasulullah. They have concern when it comes to him telling them to worship Allah alone, which they shouldn't. But mannerly wise, they never have. They shouldn't. They can have. They cannot have. Their brothers and their friends will laugh at them because they know who Rasulullah was. But this is our role model. It's the only one we're supposed to be imitating. Look at his life and follow him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when to the if you obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be guided. So he says, وَأَمَا الظُّفُرُ. He says, فَمُدَ الْحَبَشَةِ. So we're not supposed to use it because it is used by Abyssinian. They are the one who are recognized, you know, to use it as their own knife. And if we imitate them, we're imitating those people who did not accept Islam yet. So now, alhamdulillah, Habasha is having, you know, large Muslim population in that place. But, you know, the history of this place, that was the first place where the Muslims were accommodated, you know, and accepted. And the first place they go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully, although it was a Christian nation, you know, Christian nation, but they were led by somebody who is a just ruler, who was looking for the truth. That's why he accepted Islam also immediately in secret, but he did. He did accept Islam, but he hid his iman out of the fear of his people, because whoever happen to be a Christian, trust me, if he knows about Islam, if he is serious in his Christianity, not looking for money, or leave all of those the Sahara and jokers, you know, a Christian who is looking for the truth, trust me, soon be enlightened, Allah, he will be guided to Islam. He will be guided to Islam because he will see all of those contradictions and illogical things in the religion. And also, he will try to look for the truth and find out where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer him to the next and the final Sharia that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be bringing to the humanity, and he will accept that. قال وعن جابر بن عبد الله قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقتل شيء من الدواب الصبرا. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it prohibited upon anyone to kill. Sorry, upon anyone to kill an animal sabran. Yeah. Anyone to kill an animal sabran. Sabran, if you remember last time we said, is to keep an animal to stop it from moving and to make it as a target. You know, yeah. And you shoot it. You know, testing your what you call testing your accuracy in the isawa, okay? In hitting the target. Let it go and then shoot from there if you're planning to eat it after you kill. You get it? To test your isawa in that way. That one might be okay, but to keep it in the one place, in one place, and just test whether you can shoot or not, you know, that's wrong Islamically. The Prophet sallallahu in some places, he cursed the one who did that. And you know, when he cursed, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed that person. قال وان شداد بن اوس قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ان الله كتب الاحسان على كل شيء ان الله كتب الاحسان على كل شيء فاذا قتلتم فاحسنوا القتله واذا ذبحتم فاحسنوا الذبحه وليحد احدكم شفرته وليريح ذبيحته وليريح ذبيحته. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith of Shaddad ibn Aws, he said, Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ihsan upon everything. That means whenever you deal with a thing, you have to be muhsin. You know, you have to be muhsin in all of your affairs. Ihsan is kindness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arafahu fi hadith Jibreel al-Tawil bi qawlihi an ta'awud Allah ka annaka tarah fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yara. This is the ma'na al-shari'. And here we're talking about the ma'na al-aham, al-lughawi, which is kindness, ihsan, to be kind, to be gentle. The sharia defines us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Allah. If you don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. That's ihsan. This is the best form of ihsan. You get it? That Muslim is supposed to be upon this throughout his life. But the lugha, when it defines ihsan, it defines it as something that is general. General means you are kind to everyone you're dealing with. Dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates this intensive amount of kindness, which is to worship him sincerely, as if you see him. If you can't see him, you should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. So that's ihsan. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with others, ihsan is to be kind. You know, when you are paying the loan, to be muhsin, you know, pay on time. If you can have some increase, if the person who lent you the money did not ask for it, you can just increase. And if you don't see any sign from him that he wants that increase, you can increase it and make it better. You know, when you sell something that is good, you fulfill the measurement, you don't cause any deficiency, you don't cheat in your business. It's all ihsan. You are kind to your family members, whoever they are. This is ihsan. You're kind to your friends. And ajir, when somebody works in your company, you pay them their wages on time and also full amount without any deficiency, that's ihsan. And if you can actually add to make them happier, you know, ihsan is a very broad, you know, has a very broad meaning and a very, you know, big word in terms of meaning. So he says, in Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Fa idha qataltum fa ahsinu al-qitla. Whenever you kill something, you should be kind. You should be gentle when you are killing. So that's the human being who is supposed to be executed. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَحْسِنُ الْقِتْلَ. Use the best way to make the execution easy for him. That's why when it comes to killing a person who deserves to be killed, like somebody who killed another person intentionally, what do we do? Sharia says that person has to be killed. Unless if the family members of the murdered person forgive, then there will be no killing. If they forgive to a diya or something else. But the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if somebody killed another person, he has to be killed. Somebody committed zina and he is already, you know, muhsan. Muhsan means somebody who has sexual relationship in a legal marriage. Okay, that's the meaning of ihsan. Ihsan, not ihsan. Rasulullah sallallahu I'm sorry, the scholar said the meaning of ihsan is to have a, you know, sexual relationship with the spouse in a legal marriage, whether male or female. If they marry and they had a relationship, you know, between them, both of them are muhsan. Both of them are muhsan, meaning if next time they committed zina, if next time they commit zina, whether they're still married or they're not married, it doesn't matter. As long as they once had a marriage, you know, and they had a relationship in that marriage, then they are muhsani. If they commit zina, they should be stoned till death. Yeah, you have a couple of situations where a person is supposed to be executed because of the big crime, capital, you know, a big major crime that he committed, he received that one. So when we kill him, what are we going to do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, use the best way, be muhsin. You know, observe ihsan when killing him. However, the best opinion in this regard is the Maliki views. When they said, when it comes to qisas, when it comes to hudud, yes, we use the best to execute a person, unless if Sharia tells us what to do. Like the zani, Sharia says we should stone him to death. You cannot come and use sword. Yeah, you have to stone him to death. But other than that, if Sharia did not tell us what to do, then we use the easiest way. That's why many of them said sword is the best. Because if you have that those sword that are so sharp, you know, subhanAllah, very sharp, in a way, they just put it on that person, you know. I'm saying Putin, because those people who watch Qisas that was practiced in some of the Muslim countries, you know, they watched the Qisas, they said they don't see the person, you know, gathering his strength to hit the neck of that person who's supposed to be killed. He just come like this, and then that's it. The head is there and the body is there. So those kind of sword, when they hit, they cut. They said, Wallahu alam, this is what they told us, there will be this connection between the brain and the heart, and then the person will not feel the pain, except that he's just going to suffer from the stupor of death. And that's it. He will die. And that's what they mentioned. That's why they said is somehow the pain is not that much. But this, the cause is to let him leave this life and also to send a message to others who might be thinking of committing the same crime. So we protect the community from this evil behavior. Yeah, we lost one person. But if he repents, he's not also going to be in trouble in the hereafter. That will be kafara for him. He goes to Jannah. Unless we save and protect the community from any evil that can come from him and from others, because we can't trust him anymore after this, after the commission of this evil crime. You get it? How about the qisas? Qisas is when he killed somebody. Are we supposed to kill him? Just like what he did. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to use sword? Or are we supposed to do the qisas? I'm using the word qisas because qisas means to follow the same track, you know, to follow some kind of regiment. You know, so he did this, we did the same thing. He slapped him, we slapped him. That's qisas. Hit his neck with the sword, we do the same thing with the sword. He used the knife, we use knife. He burnt him, we burnt him. It removed his skin. It's like, there was a crime I heard that somebody killed somebody and he removed the skin out of the fear that people are going to recognize him when they come through these technologies. So he removed the skin. Alhamdulillah, the government managed to get him. So what are we supposed to do? The Maliki says we follow the same thing. He did this, we do the same thing. We don't use the sword. Ihsan in this regard is to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to do. He says, qasas with qasas. And their opinion is, as'adu bid dalil. The one that is more connected to the dalil. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first says qisas. And qisas support, the mean of qisas support what the Malikis are talking about. That's number one. Number two, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when somebody, those Uraniyyi, those who committed apostasy and they killed the Rai, the shepherd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were thamalu, you know, and they remove his eyes, pull them out, subhanAllah, you can see kufr, kufr. In Islam, we don't have this. Even if a person is fighting us, if he's a kafir, you know, he mutilates, we don't mutilate. We don't do that. But they don't have this concept. They don't have these values. That's why kufr, kufr is really evil, Allah. Islam is the only thing that guides the person to use his aql properly. You know, so they removed the eyes of those Muslims. They killed them and they removed the eyes. They refused to give them water until death. The Prophet ﷺ sent somebody to Allah for him to look for them. Alhamdulillah, they caught them. Alhamdulillah, they caught them. They brought him to the Prophet ﷺ. And he asked them about what happened. Were you the one who did this? They said, yes, they did. They confessed. The Prophet ﷺ looked at that person whom they killed. He did the same thing they did. He removed their eyes and put them in the middle of the sun, just like what they did. And they were crying, screaming, asking for water. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. And then, subhanAllah, he was very kind. He was very kind to them. They were even sick. The Prophet ﷺ told them to go to that shepherd and take from the milk and the urine. They will be okay. They did. But then kufr, kufr, you know, they committed apostasy. They killed the Rai and they ran away. And he commit apostasy and run. But no, they killed that shepherd and they took the camels and ran away. They forgot that the Prophet ﷺ is dealing with wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him wahi and informed him about what happened. Prophet ﷺ sent somebody to get them. They got them. So you can see here, Rasulullah ﷺ did not kill them by sword. He used the same thing they used. He used the same thing they used. And in the case of that Yahudi who killed that girl in Medina, he also, this is what he did. You know, he put her, you know, and put her head on a rock and take another rock and smash the head. So the head split. But she can still shake the head. So they came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, they asked her, who did this to you? So she couldn't talk. So they started mentioning people that they suspect to be involved in this, you know, evil crime. So they ask, is it this person? She shook her head. Is it this one? She shook her head. Until the time they mentioned one of them, one of the Jews, and she said, yes. And she said, yes, they brought him. They asked him, were you the one who did this? He said, yes, he confessed. Well, subhanAllah, look at the justice of Islam. We don't just bring him and just execute him. No, because this is a claim against him. It has to be proven. If we couldn't find him guilty according to the evidence, you know, being presented to us, we let him go. He will face the consequences when he reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we believe in the hereafter. If the right is not been taken here, in the hereafter, it will be taken. Yeah, because now we might not be able to see the truth. So we have to stick to this principle because it is the principle that will save the life of everyone. Yeah, if you're going to just trust anyone who tells you that this person is a criminal and you killed that person, you know, many people will be losing their life. Many people will be losing their life. Yes. Many people will be losing their life. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ يُعْطَ النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ أَوْ أُنَاسٌ دِمَاءَ قَوْمٍ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if people are going to be given whatever they claim and then they will be given that one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have everyone claiming the blood and the wealth of anyone. And then we're going to trust that person and give him the wealth and the blood. The Prophet said, oh, in Islam, we don't have this. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wa al-yaminu ala al-man. You claim, you have to prove it. Yeah. Unsubstantiated claims have no place with it. You have to provide evidence. That's why in this famous case, you know, Allahu alam, bisihatihi, but they mentioned in the history, Ali ibn Abi Talib lost a case against a Jew. Allahu alam, but this is a very famous case they mentioned. Ali ibn Abi Talib lost a case against a Jew. And the judge is appointed by Ali ibn Abi Talib. But then when Ali ibn Abi Talib was not able to provide evidence to support his side, the judge told him, I know and I believe you are telling me the truth. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. But we don't do this. In Islam, you have to provide evidence. He says, I believe what you are saying is the truth. And I believe you are saying the truth when you say this is yours. And I believe it is yours. But we have to go with the evidence. Do you have any evidence to support this case? He said, no. The Qadi, if I'm not mistaken, that was Shuray. He gave him to the, he asked the Jew to swear by Allah. And he did, and then gave it to him. According to that story, that Jew accepted Islam because he can't believe that he is winning against a normal Muslim. But now he is winning against a Khalifa. He couldn't get inside his brain. So this is a very, I mean, simple, but a great principle that Sharia laid down to be used in the court cases so that we can protect people. Otherwise, everyone is going to claim that this is mine, this is mine. Whoever claims that this is his, he has to provide evidences. And Islam is not lenient when it comes to evidences. That's why if we follow the correct system, to provide evidence to support your side is not going to be easy. There are some cases up to date, those evidences are not yet to be found. That's how serious is Islam in terms of preserving the right of others who are innocent. So that's the reason why I say when it comes to killing somebody who deserves to be killed, we are supposed to use what Sharia asks us to use, and this is ihsan. Using what Sharia asks us to use is ihsan. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ وَلِيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفَرَتَهُ وَلِيُرِحِ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. And when you slaughter an animal, the Prophet ﷺ said you should be kind. You know, that's why he says you should sharpen your knife, make it very sharp, so that you can give rest to that animal. That's why it's wrong to bring a knife that is not sharp. You know, you have to bring the one that is very sharp. The way you put it, you can slaughter and cut those three or four things within a few seconds. So that was the only pain that the animal will go through. And the rest will be just being busy with the super death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. So I guess this is the best place to stop, inshallah. The next درس next week بإذن الله عز وجل we come to the hadith of أبو سعيد الخدري. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الجنين زكاة الجنين. بارك الله فيكم. Brahman, if you are there, please if there are questions.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ.
بارك الله فيكم.
Sheikh, we have some questions here. Question by Sister Shafa. Sheikh, could we please understand how scholars explain the types of ikhtilaf and what are the differences within those?
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wa-salamu ala ma'uth rahmatin lil'alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Concerning ikhtilaf, this is part of our nature. It is part of our nature to be different and to differ from others. That's why here I have 13 people, including myself, in the class. I'm pretty sure if that is an issue, many of us, you know, will understand it different from the rest. I'll be having my understanding. You'll be having your understanding. You know, the other person will have his own understanding. This is part of our nature. What is rejected is to be arrogant. If Adam, for instance, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sorry, my connection was gone. So I was saying, if Adam tell what is rejected is to be arrogant. If Adam tells me that what I'm doing, my understanding is wrong, and then I tell him, who are you to teach me this? My sheikh is better than your sheikh, and I don't want to listen to what he's saying. Well, I know that he is having the truth and mine is wrong, but I insist that I have to follow my understanding. This is what is called a ta'assub, whether ta'assub upon my opinion or ta'assub, you know, on the opinion of others. Both of them are rejected Islamically. But to have differences in terms of understanding, this is part of us. This one, you cannot close it. That's why we get into trouble, because sometimes we're trying to close this this ikhtilaf. It is impossible. It is impossible. No matter how much you try, you can't do it, because our understanding is not the same. Different types of people, different types of understanding, different types of way of seeing things. So that's why we should cooperate, you know, to learn from each other. Okay, that's the best thing to be done. And ikhtilaf, the scholars divided it into two. You have ikhtilaf tawad and ikhtilaf tanawwa. Ikhtilaf tanawwa, ikhtilaf tawad. Ikhtilaf tanawwa, this is the differences that happens, which you extract from the nusus, where you have this text is saying this, and the other text is giving you another version. They're not contradicting each other. That's why it's called ikhtilaf tanawwa. Tanawwa means different types being given to you. Either you choose this, you choose, or you choose that. Like a way to perform many of the adhkar. Either you go for this, or you go for that. Like they're sitting, you know, between the two sujood. You sit either iftirash, or you go with the iqa', the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. There are a couple of things, you know, like the saying of Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Rabbana lakal hamd. Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. You choose either one, it's okay. Like the salam, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us different version. So you have a couple of things like this, you know, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us this and gave us that, you know, you choose one of them. So this is ikhtilaf tanawwu, meaning ikhtilaf in the nusus, where a Muslim is allowed to go and choose anyone he wants. The second one, which is the one that is our concern, is ikhtilaf tabaq. You have the nusus, this one is saying this and the other one is saying that. You have this one is saying this and the other one is saying something that is contrary to what the first one said. Yeah, this is tabaq. Tabaq means we are having contradiction between the two things. They are opposing each other. You get it? Because abid is the opposite. Get it? So you have two things which are opposing each other. So in this case, you have to go for the tarjih. And this is where the understandings of the people varies, from a scholar to another scholar, from a student of knowledge to another student of knowledge, from a layman to another layman. Everyone within the capacity and the taqwa he has will understand the text. I use the taqwa purposely because it has a greater impact in our understanding. Allah, the more righteous you are, the more you have a better understanding to the nusus. If a person is not willing to be righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yatmusu basiratahu. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, close that basira, the insight, in a way, things which are very simple. A layman might understand better than what he is seeing. You get it? So these are the ones that our concern is on them. Ikhtilafu utaba'ad. So what are we supposed to be doing? Look for the more. You know, that is a topic in Usul Fiqh called Ta'arud al-Adilla. Those of you who follow us in Usul Fiqh last year, you understand what I'm talking about. Ta'arud al-Adilla. You have a contradiction of the evidence. This is what I'm saying. This was it. You have to look for the murajjahat. The first thing to be done when there is ta'arud is to go for al-jam', combining all of them to make use of them. That's why they have the qaida that says al-jam' awla min at-tarjih. Combining all of them and making use of them, if that is possible, is always better than preferring some of them over the others. Al-jam' awla min at-tarjih. So that's the first thing to do. And also, it supports this principle. Another principle that says al-imalu awla min al-ihmal. You know, making use of a text is always better than neglecting one of them, because you're assure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, and it is authentically attributed to him, why can't you use it if it is possible to combine all of them? But sometimes combining both is not possible because they are too contradictory to each other. Then what must you do in this regard? Then you look for the murajjahat. And this one, a lot of advice, the questioner to focus in the details of those food, inshallah. Slowly, slowly, you will get those ones. There are a lot of murajjahat. You look at the authenticity, look at the language and nature of the language itself, which one is stronger, which one is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, which one is collected by other than them, which one is collected by one of them, which one is mawquf, which one is what do you call marfu', which one is mantuq, which one is mafhum, you know, and all of these are murajjihat. You look at them and favor one of them over the other one. So if tarjih is possible, you look at something that could be strengthened by another external evidence to support this one against the other one. If this is not possible, then you go for an-naskh. This should be the last thing you do. Yeah, an-naskh. An-naskh means abrogation. If you know the tarikh, if you know the tarikh, tarikh means if you know the history, which one comes first. That's why an-naskh is the last thing you should be talking about. The scholar said, Ibn Asim said, وَالنَّسْخَ لَا تَقُلْ بِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا لَمْ تُلْفِ فِيهِ غَيْرَ ذَاكَ مَا أَخَذَ. He says, don't you ever go with the naskh unless if you cannot find any other way out, then you can talk about the naskh. As long as you can have another way out, then it is wrong for you to go with the naskh. So this is in brief, Shafa, how we're supposed to be dealing with the khilaf. But as I said, we should understand our nature. We should try to teach each other, to learn from each other, and to be humble. When my brother told me that what you're doing is, what you are following is wrong, I shouldn't look at myself and say, oh, I'm a student of knowledge. I study in this place and that place, and you don't know. No, you didn't do that. You don't do that. Even if a kid tells you that what you do is wrong, you have to look at what he says. You, Allah, who knows? Allah SWT sent him to fix you. No, Allah never said that I'm going to send only the big one to fix you. You might see a child doing something, and he tells you that this is wrong. Yeah, you should ask him, why is it wrong? Yeah, and then he tells, I heard Sheikh so and so saying this and that. SubhanAllah, it opens a door for you to go and do a research. Yeah, you should love that kid. Yeah, he opens a door for you to go and do the research. You should take what he says and go and talk to your scholars. I heard, then tell them, a kid, you know, because if they don't have this concept in their brain, they might be laughing. No, just tell them, I heard somebody say this and that. Is it correct? Yeah, they told you it's wrong, then you just stay away from it and understand that these are kids' stories. Yeah, but when it comes to the Sharia, when somebody tells you whoever this person is, you're wrong, you should check it and see whether it is right or wrong. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and be with us wherever we are. Yeah.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is by Sister Umrayan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsan Allahu ilayk fi dunya wal akhirah. Should not imitating kuffar also be applied in all issues like their methods of education, political strategies, etc., that they're known for?
Should not what?
Should not imitating kuffar also be applied in all issues like their methods of education and other political strategies, etc.?
Yeah, now, anything that they are recognized by it, we're not supposed to imitate them in that way. But there are things which they do, which is not for kuffar. You don't see a person as a kafir just because he's doing it. And there is something which comes from them that is okay, that is good. We should imitate them, but we don't need them in terms of education. Which education do we need them in? We don't need them. Even technology is not their knowledge. It's the knowledge of everyone. We're not imitating them in that. This is a knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the brain of everyone he wishes to give that knowledge. Yeah. So we take from wherever we can find it, we take it. They also took from us the root of it. So we also take wherever we can find it. Knowledge is not kafir. Yeah. Knowledge is not kafir itself. As long as this knowledge is beneficial, it's not kafir. Yeah. So we have to be very careful in what we do. If there is something good which they do, it's not theirs actually, it's for everyone. But to imitate them is something which they're recognized by, this one is wrong. Yeah. When it comes to education, the values, we teach them, we don't take from them. Yes, Mazi.
Yes, Sheikh. Sister Shafa is asking about the Jew that we discussed, who the case of smashing the sister's head. What happened to the Jew?
They killed him also. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also did the same thing. I think I missed that one, right? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did the same thing he did with the girl. The same thing he did with the girl, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also brought him and asked people to put him on a rock and smash his head. You know.
Okay, Sheikh. There's a follow-up question by Sister Shafa, Sheikh. Which ikhtilaf does it fall under when people differ in aqeedah?
That's ikhtilaf wa tabar, because aqeedah cannot have tanawwu. You can describe Allah with this or with that. No, it doesn't go like that. You know, you can accept it or you can reject it, but it doesn't go with that. It's only one. Allah is as-Sami' and that's it. You cannot be as-Sami' and not as-Sami'. You get it? So in aqeedah, there shouldn't be ikhtilaf amongst Muslims. There shouldn't. You know, because it's just accepting what Allah says He is. And that's it. But unfortunately, we have a lot of differences. Yeah. In aqeedah, there shouldn't be any ikhtilaf. You know?
Yes, Sheikh, she has a second part of the question. And those where one declares another as someone doing bid'ah. So I think it's the same thing, Sheikh.
No, it depends. What does that person do? If he does bid'ah, bid'ah means to introduce something which you attribute to the deen, which is not part of it. That's bid'ah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
If he does that, then we call him mubtada. You know?
Okay. Yes, sir. There's another question, Sheikh. If I'm the questioner says, if I'm sure that someone steals my things, but I have no evidence, should I steal it back or go for court?
If what?
If someone steals my thing, should I, and I have no evidence that someone stole it, should I go steal it back or go for court? Yeah.
You say your thing, you take him to the court. If you see it, you take it.
Okay.
And then go to the court. He's going to take you to the court. If you see your thing, take back the thing.
Okay.
If you see it, you see it, you see it, you take back the thing. And take him to the court if you wish. Or let him take you to the court and go and defend yourself.
I think that's all the questions there's in the Zoom. You know?
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, Mazin and Rahman, and everyone who is here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and grant you good and tawfiq and be with all of you wherever you are. Innahu kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.